For the past few decades, most suburban developments have been about convenience. Shopping should be just a short drive away. Parks, just a short drive away. School, just a short drive away. Four-lane highways have replaced two-lane streets to relieve congestion. If you're in a car, other than dealing with the headaches of traffic, getting places isn't that bad. But if you're on a bike or walking, crossing those multi-lane roads at busy intersections is daunting for adults, let alone children. And often sidewalks are built, but sometimes they just end. A lot of times sidewalks in a sprawling area never really go anywhere. So people don't ride their bicycles or walk to destinations. It's just not convenient, and sometimes it's downright hazardous. Ellen Bassett is with the Urban and Regional Planning Program at Michigan State University.
Because we're building things further and further apart without connectivity that doesn't, you know, avail people to walk or use their bicycles, they have to drive everywhere, we're creating environments where people exercise less, are less and less active.
And the result has contributed to a decline of overall fitness of Americans. That's most evident in children. Kids today are fatter. The rate of obesity is up. Early onset of diabetes is up. Part of that is due to kids watching too much television, sitting around playing computer games, and so on. But not being able to ride a bike to school or being able to walk to the park to play soccer contributes to health problems because kids don't get enough exercise in their daily routines. Richard Killingsworth is the director of Active Living by Design. That program works to incorporate physical activity into everyday lives through the way we design communities. Killingsworth says somewhere along the line, we came to accept that it made sense to stop walking places and instead drive to the health club.
Now we've embraced the notion that we drive to destinations to do physical activity as opposed to having it a part of our everyday lifestyle. So we've essentially built an environment that accommodates something that is not physically active and accommodates one mode of transportation, and that's the automobile.
Killingsworth consults with urban designers, encouraging them to think about more than whether it's a convenient drive, but to think about whether a neighborhood is designed to make it a convenient walk to school or to the park.
We've built upon the notion that the car is king and it should be the only way. And unfortunately, we cannot sustain that for much longer. We need to look at other viable modes. And as we build, if we build more compactly, a viable mode and a more efficient mode clearly would be walking or bicycling.
And increasingly, urban planners are being urged by physical fitness experts to think about public health. They say making sure there's a network of sidewalks and bike paths that actually connect the community's destinations is worth the cost. Risa Wilkerson is with the Michigan Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, Health, and Sports. She's taken an active interest in land use planning. She says it's cheaper to design communities that encourage physical activity than it is for society to pay the health care costs caused by too little exercise. She argues she's not asking for that much.
That children have sidewalks that are buffered between the road with a row of trees and grass, that the parks are connected to the schools and to homes, and that people could walk to get a gallon of milk if they chose to, or to go down and visit their neighbor at the local coffee shop, and they wouldn't have to get into their automobile for a quarter of a mile trip.
Wilkerson says healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Designing communities that encourage walking or bicycling are investments in prevention of the health problems caused by too little exercise. She adds the healthcare costs of poorly designed areas are just the beginning.
And then you've got pollution costs from automobile emission. It goes on and on in terms of, you know, the savings. If we get people out walking and biking, cleaner air. When you put all of those together, I mean, it's a phenomenal case to make.
Advocates of incorporating more sidewalks, bike paths, and safer intersections into new developments say local governments should also look at existing suburbs, too, to see if those neighborhoods can't be retrofitted to include a few sidewalks and safe crossings that can connect shopping, schools, and parks to homes. That way, the walk of the day can be a little farther than just from the front door to the car in the driveway. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.